I'm Luke.
And I'm Jason.
We're the guys from That Film Stew, and this is our latest review, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver.
Directed by Zack Snyder, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver is the epic space opera film and direct sequel to Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire, from 2023. The movie is out now on Netflix, but if you haven't watched Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver yet, and you want to go watch it first before listening to our full review, we will be talking spoilers.
Before we get into it, make sure you subscribe and download this podcast on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can find us, and feel free to leave us a review.
And follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast.
So, Jason, what is Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver about?
The rebel warriors gear up for battle against the ruthless forces of the Motherworld. As unbreakable bonds are forged, heroes emerge, and legends are made.
Okay. full disclosure, listeners, we almost didn't review this. I almost had to drag you kicking and screaming to watch part two.
To be fair, you came to me and said, I'm letting you off the hook. Like, it's like I had gotten you pregnant and you were basically giving me a pass to just go away. You were like, we don't have to do this if you don't want to. And I was like, no. Let's just do it. We did review the first one.
Yep.
The completionist in me, even though the end of this movie, they're teasing that there's going to be more.
Jesus All right, Christ. let's give a further peek behind the curtain. Because I'm like, hey, let's review this. You're like, oh, I'm not too sure. That means I'd have to watch it. And then you did watch it. And we're actually recording this a night late because the night I intended on watching it, I had to stop it halfway. And I came back to it to finish it. Anyway, so this is our... this is off to an awful start, I've got to be honest. But this... okay, well, this will be our review of Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver, as a title. Hate it. She literally gives scars. I get it. But it's a shocking title. You know, I said I paused it halfway. Apologies, listeners. This is going to be a mess. I paused it halfway. It just happened to be a shot in space. And Zach really stayed on this spaceship that was moving slowly, and I'm watching it with a wife, and I just said out loud, come on, Zach. It was just taking so long. Remember the opening of Spaceballs? It wasn't quite as long as that, but I'm like, how long? Oh, this the slow-mo. No, just in general. Okay, the slow-mo in this. Look, it's slow-mo farming. Look, it's slow-mo everything.
The wheat, man, like farming the wheat. Holy shit.
You know, Snyder, he was asked why there is so much slow motion in Rebel Moon. This is what his response was. The obvious answer is slow motion is awesome. Right.
That's the douchiest answer.
It's his answer. And
he's a director with too much power. Oh my God. Like, let's just put it out there. Like, he's got too much power and he thinks very high of himself and his ability. No, actually, no, that sounds too nasty because I'm a fan of Zack Snyder. He has put out movies, made movies that I have thoroughly enjoyed. Some that I'm like, they're kick ass. I enjoy, you know, like they a bag of fun. And there have been stuff where he's used slow motion and I'm like, this is epic. Like, this is so, you know what? He's right. It is pretty cool. But
when used correctly, when used in the right moments, look at the Matrix.
When used correctly.
Mate, look at the Matrix in 99. Like, that changed like, American filmmaking. It really, really did. But they isolated
the kicking in 300, you know, like, this is Sparta kicking a dude into the pit.
It works.
Yes.
There's times where it really works, but then you've got movies like Sucker Punch, and then Snyder's like saying, I've got the footage to put out a better version of that movie. He always seems
Sucker Punch. He doesn't even like his own movie.
He always seems to have more footage that he can just put together and make a better movie. With Rebel Moon, oh, mate, again, this review is going to be a mess all over the place. Like, anyway, We're getting like extended versions, that being referred to as like the Snyder Cut. It's like this movie's the Snyder Cut. Rebel Moon Part One was all the Snyder Cut.
Yes.
Netflix are just letting him make these
He
movies.
had complete control. With Netflix, you don't have to censor yourself because, the censorship rules are completely different on streaming. The runtime is not an issue. He literally could have put out like a 4-hour first movie, a 4-hour second movie if he wanted to. Gives a shit. It's Netflix. Like, people will pause, come back, just like you did, which you had to do during a 2-hour version of the movie. They're just
Hello.
trying to bank on the crazy Snyder cut, Justice League kind of
That's it.
thing,
I mean,
and get people rallying. No one cares, man. Like,
okay, let's talk Rebel Moon then. Right. As you've said, we've reviewed part one already. What that movie did, and I've got to be honest, when they announced Charlie Hunnam was going to be in that movie, that really had my attention. So okay, this could be cool, because it doesn't do a lot of those types of movies. Yes, he did King Arthur, Legend of the Sword with Guy Ritchie, but that was very much like a Lock, Stock style movie. It just happened to be King Arthur. But he doesn't do this kind of thing. So, oh, it could be interesting seeing Charlie Hunnam in a sci-fi. For me, in that first movie, it was wasted. We talked about it on our review. He was doing this weird Irish accent, which didn't seem, was it Irish? I can't remember. But it didn't seem
oh, I kept
necessary.
flipping it.
It didn't seem necessary. And then his character, spoiler, didn't stick around. But what that first movie did, it had scale. Like you were going to different planets and you were bringing this team together. And one of those planets was the farming planet that we pretty much spent the whole 2 hours of part two on.
Oh, and
So it.
not even just, oh, we're on the farming planet. It's like we're on the one farm. It's almost like, is this the only place on this planet?
It's
Like,
so
we've
small.
seen nothing
It
else.
is.
It's such a bottle. It's like a bottle movie.
And
Like,
then
not
when
even a
all the
bottle of
bad
the stuff.
guys are raining down on them, and basically, yeah, I mean, we see this one village and it's getting obliterated. And then you've got the heroes like cheering, yeah, we did it. It was reminding me of that scene in Paris on Team America, where they come to save Paris, yet the
Everyone's
whole
dead.
place, everybody's dead. It's like you're cheering, oh man, this movie is just off.
To hone in on that a bit more, like, one of the major deaths in this is, oh God, I care not about their names, man. Gunner,
Oh, I was going to say, good luck.
like he's dying. Like he's like, he's dying. It's a scene where he's dying. You've got Cora there doing her emotional scene. She's crying, she's upset, as it is. And then obviously it cuts to, like, all the ships and stuff coming in, and they're, like you said, like they're blowing things up, they're saving the day. Woo! Everyone's cheering the village. Like, there's so much death. And then it cuts back to Gunner still dying or already dead. I don't know. Like, but it's like they put in that scene of celebration and like, yeah, we're kicking ass in between that death scene. What the hell are they thinking? Like, that's this movie, man. Like, it's just nothing makes sense. The piecing together of scenes and how certain bits of just footage and story are told to you is just like, why are we seeing this now? Like, I don't know. It's ridiculous.
That's a good
Ridiculous.
example, right? And I think I'll say what I'm going to say now. So there's death, there's sacrifice, we get to see some heroics, there's villains in here. I felt nothing. Like Gunner dying, like I wasn't invested. I just was not invested in, I don't know, maybe it's what you just said there is an example of why I'm not, but I just, the way that it was put
No,
together.
there's more to it. Like, a lot of the time I say, like, when scenes like that happen, I'm like, oh, I'm not invested, I don't care, because the movie hasn't taken its time to let us know who the characters are and give us their stories and let us grow. This movie does the complete opposite. It takes its time. It gives us stories. It gives us their backstories, and it tells us about these characters. multiple times. Like
But a
we got a
long
lot of that.
time around
We
the
got a lot of that
campfire.
in the first movie, and then here again, you know, like we around the campfire, you know, around the dinner table. It's like, speak your truth. I was like, oh God, we're doing the exposition stuff again. Like we just keep doing these exposition dumps. And even after all of that, I don't care about anyone. I can barely remember anyone's name. Like I don't know what's wrong.
Can you
Like
remember, right? The big bad in the first movie, played by Ed Skrein, Atticus Noble, and Admiral, the big bad, and Cora defeated him. It was a whole thing in the first movie, and he's brought back and he's the big bad in this one. It's like, we've done this already.
Like
Why are
it's
we
like they were
doing it
doing like
again?
a they were kind of doing like I think at the start of this they wanted to do like a Darth Vader rising kind of moment where it's like, you know, he's coming out of this like hibernation tank pool thing. He's rising. And I'm like, man, he was such a bland one note kind of villain in the first one
And now we
that
get him again.
I was kind of forgiving that move for being like, well, we're going to get something a little bit more epic. We're going to get the, you know, the equivalent to the emperor. We're going to get the bigger badder, the one that's really calling the shots in this. And it's like, we just go back to that guy again. I'm like, all right, all good. And then, you know, the title, the Scar Giver, you know, Korra's given that man, you know, like John Wick, like the bad guys now fear her. Like, you know, she wounded this guy, like this powerful guy. She did, and then she doesn't do anything in the movie that lives up to that. To the point where, like, the final fight, she essentially loses it. And this isn't a gender thing or anything like that, but it's like Gunnar has to be the one that comes in and kills the dude. Well, I mean, he stabs him, and then I guess she
And then
chops his head off or whatever the hell she does. But
she
I mean,
finishes him off.
she needs to be saved by this guy.
But
It's
then he
like,
does die, and she
I mean,
wins in life. Like
yeah, I mean,
she survives.
yeah.
He's dead.
Does
Yeah,
she
but I
win in
do.
life? She doesn't seem very happy in this movie. I'm
She
just saying.
doesn't. She doesn't. You know. But Sofia Boutella, like, you know, she's good. Like, you know, she's fine, and we've seen her in other things. But it's an interesting character. She was once bad and now she's good, but she's tortured. And I just think there's just too much going on, but it's not
She's
like.
tortured by something that
Well, she killed the
didn't need to
princess.
happen,
She killed the
but she
princess.
didn't.
And then she finds out at
But
the
she
end that
didn't.
when she shot her and the princess sparkled, like that wasn't actually her dying and she's more powerful and yada, yada, yada. So a thing's going to happen in future movies. All right, let's talk the obvious Star Wars comparison. We touched on it when we reviewed part one. You've got the character Nemesis, a cyborg swordmaster played by Duna Bay, and quiet, brooding, mysterious, all of that. Well, you get the flashback and you find out that she's her people used to be violent, now they're peaceful. They're under attack, and then she gets out the blades, and to wear them, she needs robot hands and cuts her hands off. So she's holding the blades that aren't lightsabers. They are solid constructs that aren't lights. They just glow blue and glow red. But
Like
anyway,
lightsabers.
it's not Star Wars. It's a different thing altogether.
Yeah.
But she, so anyway, so she cuts off her hands. Pretty extreme. But she's got these robot hands, so she can hold the blade. Other characters, including Korra, just get a bit of material and wrap it around the handle. It just seems a bit extreme, man, to cut your hands off. But this character doesn't survive the movie. And even though she didn't say much throughout both movies, she was at least interesting. I found this character interesting, and the
Yeah,
movie
you know,
killed her.
you're right. Like, and she has that cool moment, like, where are they? Like, in a barn or something, and like, she's like saving the children and shit. I don't know. Like, it's, yeah, it's a noble death.
But everybody has a thing. So you've got the character Titus, a former general of the Imperium. Oh man, I'm not even going to get into it. Titus, that's all you need to know. He's the character played by Demon Honosu. He's great. He's bloody Great.
He's doing a good job. He's
he's doing as best as he can with what he's got.
He
I mean,
thinks he's in a better movie.
Oh man! But the thing is, though, he's often one of the best things in the movie that he's in. You know, you look at films like Blood Diamond in the 90s, Amistad. Man, this guy, he has given so many great performances over the years. He's just never been given that shot where he is the guy in his own movie. He's always supporting other people, and he's often better than the main person in the film that he's starring alongside.
Yeah, and even in this, with the garbage dialogue, the garbage like script, and like, he's still doing. He's bringing his A.
He's solid. He is solid.
Just speaking stupid words, but that's
every character has their thing, and his thing is alcohol. Until what we're made to believe, first time in a very long time, he's tasting water, and that's his big character arc in this movie. Gives up the alcohol and he's drinking water. They even had to check that he was drinking water towards the end of the movie. But yeah, it's a Titus. He's the strong type. But you know, you had that scene where the ships were coming down. They're going to be firing the weapons. Oh, man. When you had a line of bad guys attacking the village and they all had automatic laser rifles, whatever they had, you know, and they're firing them, and that one guy is charging at them, waving an axe. That bloody hell, mate. But he didn't get shot, to his credit. It was just
obviously
odd.
these are like the stormtroopers. They can't aim for shit.
They can't aim. And I can't. What was the character? Is he? That's Tarak. That's, yes, Tarak. He was the nobleman turned blacksmith. No, was he Tarak, or was he? Honestly, I don't even know. We've got characters named Davian Bloodaxe. I don't even know. Honestly, I watched it last night. I forgot it was who. I really a character I can remember. Anthony Hopkins as the voice of JC1435, or you may know him as Jimmy, the last member of a race of mechanical knights.
Do you remember, like, right, we obviously like watching that first movie, which I'm sure you're trying to forget as much as possible, but yeah, you know, we watched that and we were talking about it and we were like, look, Jimmy was the most interesting part of that movie, and it looks like in this second one, they're positioning him to join the fight and just do something epic and crazy. Well,
he does something. He does something. You know, he lands in the ship. He gets a superhero landing. He's got his cape. He protects people. He has a moment and he picks a side. This is my issue with the character of Jimmy. Anthony Hopkins.
Nothing else happened?
Anthony Hopkins as a character, as an actor, I really like. I do. And he's got a great manner about him. His line delivery is very unique to him. My problem with this movie, whenever Jimmy had any dialogue, it took me out of it because I could just imagine Anthony Hopkins, script in hand, just reading the dialogue into a microphone, which is literally what would have happened.
Reading it for the first time.
But that's that every time. Every time. And I get, I mean, it must have been intentional because he sounds so human. He sounds like a person. Like, it's not as if Snyder is trying to get Hopkins to sound like a machine. Like, he's probably wanting him to have humanity. And so, but with that, though, it just sounds like Anthony Hopkins coming out of a speaker. That's, I don't know. I was looking forward to seeing more of Jimmy. And again, he got that great superhero landing. But other than that, it was just he just took me out of it.
He just didn't do anything. It's like, you know, when you asked me, you know, like you said, you know, we don't have to review it. You can get out of this one. And I was like, no, let's just do it. A little part of my decision to do it was I kind of want to see the robot kick some ass and do things. And I didn't get it. Like, not enough of it.
Okay.
I'm sad, man. I'm just disappointed. I didn't, I don't know. I didn't get something that I myself just anticipated and set up as an expectation, but I don't know.
This movie, right? It's just there's a lot going on, like visually, and Snyder, you know, it's where his strengths are with visuals, like he, you know, but it's just empty. Like the movie for me is just empty. I don't care. I really don't care.
It's a whole lot of hogwash visually, though. Like, I mean, you've got to give credit for it. Like, it looks pretty. It looks good. Like, there's a lot of, you know, like space stuff and the action sequences. But the context removes all weight from everything. That it just, yeah, empty, hollow. It just creates a dullness in this. In what visually is an epic looking thing, like
it should be exciting,
waste of talent, effects.
Yeah, it should be thrilling, like it really should be. And maybe some people are experiencing it that way, like maybe some people do really like it, but within the next Netflix bubble, you know, they're gonna keep giving him money to make more of these. Like there's, you know, there's Rebel Moon comics that Netflix are putting out. They're talking about animated tie-ins. So they're just going to keep making more. It's just if they announce a release date for a Rebel Moon Part 3, I don't know if I'm up for it.
I'm
I really don't.
100% out.
Even
I'm out.
Like it should be a given. Hey, Netflix are putting out this big expensive blockbuster. Watch it at home, you know, opening weekend. You don't have to leave the house. I don't know if I want to watch it anymore.
I know that I don't want to watch it.
Yeah. I do you know what? I don't even know if I want to talk about it anymore. I think we might actually rate it. Do you want to rate it, or do you have more,
more
do you want to say?
No, more than happy, man. More than happy. The rating I give now, right, purely on the special effects, the action sequences as a visual, like, delight, because there's no denying, like, it looks good. Turn the volume down, watch this as a screensaver. It looks good. Even the slow-mo wheat stuff, it does look good. It's just stupid. It just makes no sense. I'm giving this 1 out of 5. One. And again, just based on the visual, the production side of things, again, looks good. Everything else is, there's nothing to like. Characters, dialogue, the story, and even when the visuals do look good, as I said, like, because the context, it's visual noise, and which is a shame because it looks really decent, but there's no point to it. And the audacity to be like, the princess is still alive, let's go, like, nah, man, I'm out. No third movie for me, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm with you. 1 out of 5, which, just so you know, that's the lowest that I would go, is a 1. I know we throw 0.5s around there, but I wouldn't do a 0.5. So it's the lowest that I would go with my rating, and that's where I'm at. It's the bottom. It is a 1 out of 5. Yeah, this ended. I was like, good. That's it. And honestly, I chatted to someone today, like, you know, they'd watched it, and it was one of those, oh, what did you think to it? And it took them a while to find the right words, and that just sums it up. Like, it's just, it just should be a given. Oh yeah, now it's fun. Oh yeah, now it was good. But that's just not what come out of people's mouths. They're like, oh yeah, well, oh, I kind of liked. That shouldn't be the response to a movie that Snyder is making for Netflix. They're putting all this money behind it. There's all this talent. Oh, anyway, there we go.
I mean, these people you're talking to are clearly very polite people. They're trying to find the positive. rather than just being like, yeah, man, it was shit house.
Yeah,
these are obviously very nice, nice individuals. So good for them. Sorry they had a bad time.
Well, that's it for our review of Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver. If you haven't already, check out our other shows, Rewind and Review and Sounds Like Comics. Each of those shows also have their own Facebook pages.
If you missed it, be sure to check out our recent reviews of The Fall Guy and Late Night with the Devil. And stay tuned for our upcoming review of Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2.
You've been listening to Luke.
And you've been listening to Jason.
We're the guys from That Film Stew. See you soon.